scripture reading for this morning hour's worship service you can find in the book of Psalms, and we read the 115th Psalm, Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Dear congregation, children, we well know that David was a man who loved and who feared God. Scripture tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. In other words, he loved the very heart of God, and he followed after that which God loved as well. And we know that David was inspired by the Lord to write many, many of the Psalms. Approximately half of the Psalms that we have in the book of Psalms, David wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here in Psalm 115, one of the Psalms of David, we find David filled with prayer. We find him filled with faith as he extols the Lord. He confesses in verse 12 that the Lord had been mindful of him and of Israel. The Lord had good thoughts. The Lord had been caring. The Lord's mind and heart were engaged in the care for Israel, his chosen people. And therefore, David says, He, that is God, will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. David, he knew that God's mind and heart was caring for his people, and because God cared for his people, that he was mindful of them. Therefore, God will bless them. Now, many years before David, approximately 300 years before David, we find another man in Scripture who also loved the Lord, who also feared God. He wasn't inspired to write any of the Psalms, but yet he was a man who loved the Lord just the same, and who was a prayerful man, just like David was as well. And we find his prayer buried in a list of chronologies in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And this morning, with God's help, we want to look at this man whose name was Jabez and consider his prayer. And I pray that as we consider his prayer, as he was one who indeed feared God, who loved him, who panted after the heart of God, just like David did as well, I pray that as we consider his prayer, that it may be a pattern for us to follow, that it may be an inspiration for us, and that it may be an encouragement for every one of us to persevere on in our prayer. And so the words of our text that we want to look at, you can find not in the chapter that we read together, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, particularly verse 10, but I will read both verses 9 and 10, where we find a little history of Jabez and then his prayer. Verse 9, 1 Chronicles 4, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Our theme then, as we look at these words, is the prayer of Jabez. 5 thoughts with God's help. First, his desire for blessing. Secondly, his desire for an enlarged coast. Thirdly, his desire for strength from God. Fourthly, his desire to be kept from evil. And fifthly, God's answer to his prayer. So the prayer of Jabez, his desire for blessing, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Desire for an enlarged coast, and enlarge my coast. Desire for strength from God, that thy hand might be with me. Desire to be kept from evil, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And finally, God's answer to his prayer. And God granted him that which he requested. We find this text, dear congregation, this morning in the book of Chronicles, probably one of the least read books of the Bible. Because as you glance at this book, you see, and as you know the scripture, you know that this book contains lists and lists of names, genealogies of people who lived in the Bible times. It's called the Book of Chronicles because it chronicles, or it lists out, all these families and all this history of all these hundreds and thousands of names. Really, this book in history, it traces Israel, and actually it begins way back at the beginning of time with Adam, and then it traces the whole genealogy of Israel all the way through until the fall of Jerusalem, and then the return of the Jews to Jerusalem. And we don't know for sure who actually wrote this book. We know, of course, that it was inspired by God and his spirit, but it was likely Ezra, the scribe, who wrote all these words down. And indeed, when we have read through our Bible reading, and possibly as we gather for family devotions round the table, maybe we have had a tendency to skip this book and go on to easier reading, because all these lists of names sometimes are very, very hard to pronounce. Maybe we don't find the value in reading this type of particular literature in Scripture either. But here, right in the midst of a whole list of names, we find just a little brief history of this man named Jabez. And we find also couched in here the very short but very important prayer that he uttered. Now, we don't know a lot about Jabez. He's just mentioned a few times here in Scripture. We do know that we find him listed here in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. And in verse 1, we know that he was from the family of Judah, which eventually was the tribe of Judah. And verse 9 tells us that he was more honorable than his brethren. Now, we don't know all what that entails, once again, but being honorable and being so named by the Lord means that he was a man who loved and feared the Lord, that he was a man who was a prayerful man, obviously, here from this very short and important prayer that he uttered and is preserved in Scripture for us. You see, dear congregation, a lot of people can think that we may be honorable people. They may look at our business, they may look at our character, they may look at some of the things we do or we don't do in society. But if we would be honored by the Lord, we must be prayer warriors before the Lord. We cannot be honorable and not be prayerful. One of the things, I believe, that made Jabez honorable and more honorable, as verse 9 tells us, than his brethren, was the fact that he prayed to the Lord, that he was humbled before the mighty hand of God, and that he confessed that he needed the blessings of God. He was more honorable than his brethren. And we are also told, in the latter part of verse 9, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. We don't know, once again, what was all involved with that, whether that was her own sorrow, whether that was sorrow in the family at the time, whether sorrow in the nation, whether that was a sorrowful circumstance in the time in which he was born. But his name means sorrow or pain or grieving. But we do know that it wasn't grieving what he did. Jabez, he calls upon God. He prays to the true and living God of Israel. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, not on the gods of wood or stone that we read about, who have ears but they hear not, in Psalm 115. But he calls on the living God of Israel, who hears and who answers prayer. Well, then let's look very particularly at the prayer of Jabez and ask ourselves, what is he asking for? What is he requesting God for? And how can you and I also learn from the pattern and from this prayer of Jabez? First, he prays for blessing. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. What is it to be blessed, congregation? What is true blessedness? True blessedness, the core of the term itself, means true happiness, true joy, sincere, godly joy. And so right away, as Jabez here, he prays for true blessedness. It's very clear that Jabez had come to understand spiritually for himself that he was not truly happy in himself. And he needed God's joy and he needed God's happiness. He needed God's blessing to be truly happy. Perhaps even as he prays this, perhaps he had an eye on the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 22 and verse 17, where God said to Abraham, and really to his seed as well, in blessing, I will bless thee. And maybe as he prayed this petition, He was thinking about spiritual, our father Abraham, for the spiritual blessing. But he craved God's blessing. He craved to have God's face shine upon him, because that's also what blessing means. We pronounce the blessing of God, don't we? Every time that we depart church. Psalm 67, we find David once again praying for God's blessings, that the Lord would bless thee and make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord would lift up His countenance upon thee and grant peace. Jabez, he knew that he needed God's smiling face upon him. Jabez understood something of New Testament theology and New Testament doctrine, even though, of course, that time had not been fulfilled yet. But he knew that he needed God's face upon him, because he knew that aside from God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's face is filled with wrath because of our sins. He frowns, as it were, upon our sinfulness, and so he desires God's smiling countenance upon him. You know what it's like, children, don't you? Looking into the face of your parents and seeing a smile rather than a frown. I think none of us want to see mom and dad unhappy. Even worse, none of us want to see mom and dad angry with us, and particularly because of our sin. But we want to see them smiling upon us. We want to see them favoring us and blessing us and remembering us and caring for us. Every child desires that. Well, so it is with Jabez and his heavenly father. He desires God's blessings upon him. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me, that thou wouldst cause thy face to shine upon me, thy countenance to look upon me indeed. And his prayer indeed was very sincere. He says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. These are not just vain and empty words. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, sometimes we talk to people and we say to them, I wish you God's blessings. I pray, of course, every time that we do that we may be sincere. But so we can say that so quickly, can't we? So flippantly even sometimes. And sometimes even so thoughtlessly. But here, Jabez, he doesn't do that. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. He's very sincere. Now this, of course, is the prayer of Jabez's congregation. But this needs to be our prayer as well, sincerely praying that God would rain down upon us His smiling countenance. And as we pray for blessing today, blessing isn't just wishing for a blue sky and the wind on our back and no waves on the sea. Blessing is not just having a lot of things, a bank full of money and no worries and all the goods and all the time that we desire. But the blessing of God, congregation, is if we have a lot or if we have a little, is to have God's face upon us and to be trusting in Him in all of life's situations. Being at peace, knowing that He is our God for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he wrote to the Philippians, and he said this, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be fit, to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Why could the Apostle Paul write these things? And why could he say these things? Well, he could say these things, congregation, because he was living out of the blessing of God. You see, he says, My joy and my peace doesn't depend on my circumstance. But my joy and my peace depends on the God of Israel and whether indeed He is looking upon me in mercy. Christ, of course, in His well-known Sermon on the Mount, He pronounces time and again, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness when things are going well and when things aren't going well. If we are hungering after Jesus Christ and His righteousness, we are blessed indeed. Blessed are you, He says, when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. You are blessed then as well. You see, true blessedness is clinging to God and His Word in all situations in life. Dear congregation, do you desire to be blessed of God? Do we really long to have God's face shine upon us and look down upon us in mercy? You see, so often we can say, yes, I want God's blessings, but so often we equate God's blessings only with physical things, with goods that we acquire, and say, I want to be blessed with this, I want to be blessed with that, I want to be blessed with this, and then when we don't get those things, sometimes we think that we aren't blessed. Congregation, God's blessing is His mercy being showered upon us. And our proper response is to be prayerful and submissive unto the Lord in all ways, in that which He gives and in that which He withholds. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed. But Jabez goes on here, and secondly, he asks for an enlarged coast. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast. Now, what is Jabez asking for here? What is he requesting, as we see indeed that in the end of verse 10, that this indeed is a request? Is he asking simply to have his section, or his quarter section enlarged? To have more physical land? Congregation, we must understand something about the Jewish mindset to be able to understand this phrase here in Jabez's prayer. Land was very significant because land was always associated with two things. It was associated with spiritual blessing and it was associated with family blessing. Let me give you just a few texts to illustrate that truth. Many years before, to Father Abraham, the Lord, He promised in Genesis 13 and verse 15, He says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever." And so obviously, here, God is speaking about something spiritual. He's not talking about physical land only. Yes, He is promising the physical land of Canaan. But there is something spiritual pictured in that physical land because God knew, even as He gave that promise to Abraham, that that land would not live and dwell and abide forever. This present evil world, the Bible tells us, will one day pass away. Peter says it will melt with a fervent heat. And so when God promises Abraham this land, He's speaking about a spiritual blessing. But He also tells him that it's not only for him, but for his seed. And that same promise is repeated to Abraham in Genesis 17 and verse 8. And then on through history, That same promise is repeated to Isaac in Genesis 24 and verse 7. The Lord says, "Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee." It's repeated to Jacob when he dreamed. Genesis 28, 13. "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it thee, and to thy seed." Jacob, in turn, he said to Joseph, Genesis 48 and verse 4, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, of thee a multitude of people, of thee I will make a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed for after thee, for an everlasting possession." So the idea of land, of coast, was always associated with spiritual blessing and with family blessing. In the life of Israel, to the obedient that were following God's commandments, they were promised to enter into the land of Canaan, but the older disobedient ones, they were not allowed. Numbers 32 and verse 11, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me." So land was always associated with spiritual, eternal blessings, and land is always associated with families. And no doubt, Jabez, being a Jew here from the tribe of Judah, as he prays this prayer, "Oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my coasts," he had this idea of spiritual blessing, God's spiritual blessing, not only for him, but also for his seed, for his children, for the generations to come. So here, Jabez, congregation, he is not simply asking for more land and for more physical things. There's some who look at this text, and there's a very popular book out there that writes about Jabez's prayer, and basically it says this, that God blesses us only when we have a lot of things, when our physical coast is enlarged. But here Jabez is praying that his spiritual coast is enlarged, that his love and his faith would be made broader for him, yes, and for his family as well. And congregation, this must be our prayer as well, that God would enlarge our coasts spiritually, that he would broaden our love, that he would deepen our faith, that he would make our repentance more sincere, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that may happen not only for us, but for our children and for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We have to beg that of the Lord. And we have, of course, His promises at the time of baptism that He will be a God unto us and to our seed forever. God is able, dear congregation, to wash and to wipe away all the sins of every one of our children, even long after we're gone. I ask you, child of God, did God do it for you? Did He cleanse you? Did He save you? Of course He did. And if He can do it for you, why do you think that He can't do it for your children or your grandchildren? You see, sometimes especially when children leave and when they drift, or grandchildren and they leave the means of grace, they leave the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to parts unknown. And sometimes we're ready to write it off, and loved ones and friends and acquaintances, we say there's just no hope for such a person. I ask you, congregation, to go home and look in the mirror and say, if God can do it for me, He can do it for anyone. And then get down on our knees and say, Lord, enlarge my coast. Remember not only me, but my children. Bless my family. The Lord is able to do it for the youngest children as well. Paul said to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Jabez has a desire that his whole family would know and fear the Lord, and that would honor the Lord as well. This needs to be our prayer, especially when we live in America. America, the free today, where the family unit is a thing that's being eroded. It's sad, of course, that we live in this time in which families, marriages are together, and then 50% of marriages, they split apart. Husbands and wives, they want to be a land on their own. The children, when there's children involved, they scatter like islands all around. Congregation, we must stay together. A family that prays together stays together. And we must beg God that He would enlarge our coasts spiritually for us and for our children. And thirdly, Jabez, he desires that God's strength would be with him. He says, that thy hand might be with me. Now, God's hand in Scripture is always a picture of God's strength. Moses, he prayed from the mountain, Deuteronomy 3. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? The psalmist also prayed in Psalm 89, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and thy hand, and high is thy right hand. And you see, once again, congregation, Jabez, he understood that he had no strength in himself, that he was a mere finite creature who was born and would die, and he needed something so much bigger than him to hold on to. He needed the strong hand of God, that thy hand might be with me. He understood something of what the Lord Jesus Christ would later say, without me, you can do nothing. And Jabez, he knew he needed God's strong hand, and therefore he prays to God sincerely for it. You see, dear congregation, it's easy, relatively easy, to acknowledge that we have no strength in ourselves. It's easy to say, yes, I'm weak, I'm sinful, I'm needy. Easy to say it with our lips. But Jabez, here, as he prays for God's blessing, and also now he prays for God's strength, he knew with his heart of hearts that he had no strength in himself, so he knew he needed the strength, the strong hand of God. I ask you, do you know also, spiritually, that you need the strong hand of God? You see, even God's children, we have to continue to pray this prayer, not just one time and say, now I have God's strong hand and now I don't need to pray anymore. Jabez, he was one who was honorable. He feared God. He loved God. And he had to continue to pray this prayer because he knew that his own arm couldn't support him. Jeremiah reminds us in Jeremiah 17, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land that is not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Congregation, we are blessed, Jeremiah says, when we trust in the strong and mighty hand of God, and we are living a life of those who are cursed, when we lean upon our own strength and upon our own arm. If we would be as strong trees bearing much fruit, we too must lean upon the mighty hand of God. And congregation, once again, it's so easy to acknowledge, isn't it? It's so easy to say, yes, I'm trusting in God. Yes, I feel His strong hand. But in our heart of hearts, God knows indeed if that confession with our lips is true. Because you see, when we do need the strong hand of God, yes, we pray for it and we surrender and we fall upon God as Jabez does here. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coasts, and that thy hand might be with me. He needs the strength of God. But then fourthly, he prays that he may be kept from evil. But he positively prays for blessing, but also he prays that he would be kept away from evil. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand would be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez, he understood something once again of his own heart. He understood that he had the physical ability to sin, and he did not want that sin to stain and to dampen his communion with God. He knew what Isaiah would write in Isaiah 59 in verse 2, that it is your sins that have caused God's face to turn away from you. It is your sins that have turned away God's blessings. That is why, dear congregation, we must continually, you see, go to God and say to Him in Psalm 139, Lord, search my heart and know my ways and try me. And if there be any wicked way in me, lead me to the way, in the way everlasting. You see, we must always go to God, dear congregation, in every single area of our life, both public and private, and expose it completely to God and say, Lord, if there's any sin in any area, any sphere of my life, cleanse me. Because I know that it's my sin that bring the cloud and the curtain between thy smiling countenance and my soul. Jabez, he understood something of that. And so he says, oh, that I may be kept from evil. Congregation, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know something of your own heart. Jabez here, he understood something of his own tendency to sin and to evil. There's some people who have a wrong view of being saved, of being a child of God. They think somehow when you're a child of God, you're brought from darkness to light, or you're a child of God, you're found in Christ Jesus, and you have no more desire to sin. Dear congregation, would to God that were true. But it's not. The old nature, it still resides right here in the heart. And it's a burden. It's a burden, and there's an ongoing struggle. Romans 7, of course, we well know that passage. The Apostle Paul, he's struggling there before the face of God. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I find myself doing, O wretched man that I am. But he thanks God who gives him the victory over sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jabez, he understood his own sinful inclination and his own sinful heart. Lord, I need thy blessing. I need thy strong hand with me. And that thou wouldst keep me from evil. He had a tender conscience, dear congregation. He had a tender conscience towards sin. He understood something, how that sin was so anti-God and was an offense in God's holy sight. That's also what made him to be more honorable than his brethren. You know, that's something that we need to pray all the time as well. Lord, keep me tender. Keep my conscience open. We must pray that we may be kept far away from sin and from all the allurements of sin. We must pray that we may stay sensitive to sin, because you well know that when we are desensitized to sin, it is so very easy to begin to practice it in our minds, with our words, and then sometimes with our very deeds. We must pray, congregation, that we're not hardened to all the sin out there in the world and the sin that wells up so easily within us. And the reason he prayed this is that he would not be grieved, that it may not grieve me, and live really up to his name, which meant the son of sorrow. You see, when we sin, of course, it causes God sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ, he wept over Jerusalem when he saw the sin of that particular day. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says, I would have gathered you as a chicken gathers her chicks beneath her wings, but you would not. And he was grieved in his heart at the unbelief of spiritual, so-called spiritual Israel, religious Israel. God still weeps today over households, over individuals, over families who don't fear the Lord, who aren't prayerful before the throne of God. God is grieved. But dear congregation, being prayerless and being sinful also grieves us. We can commit sin sadly, and then afterward, we are profoundly sad. We are profoundly sorrowful. And we, of course, wish that we would have never sinned. And Jabez understands something of this. That I may be kept from evil, that it may not grieve me. He knew, you see, he knew that grief and sorrow and regret are something that follows as a consequence of sin. And he doesn't want to sin to offend God, but he also doesn't want to sin to have to put up with the consequences of sin. And so he says, that I may be kept from evil, that it may not grieve me. Congregation, you never have to be sad about sins you don't commit. You never have to be regretful of sins you don't commit. In thought, word, or in deed. But we are sad and we are regretful and we are sorry about sins that we do commit in thought, word, and deed. And so we must pray to be kept from those sins, to be preserved from those sins in the first place. Not only from the outward action, and not only with our words, but also in our minds, in our thought patterns. The Apostle Paul says, I bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, God is able to tame our hearts and tame our minds, and to keep us also in the way of truth, in the way of righteousness, in the way of holy thinking. And He does that also through prayer like this. Oh Lord, that I may be kept from evil words, from evil deeds, and from evil thoughts, that it may not grieve me. And then we see God responding. And God granted him, Jabez, that which he requested. God was pleased to answer. And He was pleased to answer Jabez's requests, four sincere requests, for blessing, for an enlarged coast, for family blessings, strength from God, and to be kept from evil. And God says, as it were, Jabez, you have asked scriptural things. You have not asked for something that's unscriptural, that's sinful, that's unholy. But you have asked for things that I have promised also to give. And therefore I will give you your request. Isaiah 59 reminds us that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord will hear when we call upon Him. The Lord does not hear prayers, dear congregation, that we do not utter. And therefore, it's very necessary that we pray to God, that we pattern our prayers also after Jabez, to be blessed with our families, to have the strength of God, and to be kept from evil. He sincerely prays, and God sincerely answers. Now, we are not told, of course, how exactly God answered, when exactly God answered, but God gave him that which he requested. Sometimes God delays His answers. Of the approximate 650 or so prayers in the Bible, about two-thirds of them, God answers immediately, and about the other one-third of them, God delays His answers to them. Maybe you're praying for something or someone at this time, and you're wondering when you're going to see answer to that prayer. Maybe God will answer that prayer to your congregation long after you are gone. We see that again and again, don't we? Parents praying for children or for grandchildren, and then maybe years later, you see that child come to faith. Maybe when they're an adult, sometimes it's immediate. Praise God. And sometimes it's delayed. Praise God. God will do it at His time and in His way. You see, so often we're used to wanting immediate results and thinking somehow God didn't hear me just because He didn't answer me now. We go to the bank, don't we? We have instant banking. We go to the microwave and we push the button and we get upset that something takes so long. And we want instant results. We live in a world that preaches instant gratification. And sometimes we can transfer this also to our spiritual life. And we think sometimes that God isn't bringing Himself in and answering when we ask for things and He doesn't answer immediately. Dear congregation, anything that you ask in My name, I will give it, Christ says. But at His time and in His way, when we ask in faith, when we ask for spiritual blessings and for scriptural things. Well, then finally, in closing, what lessons can we learn from the prayer of Jabez? Let me lay before you just three. First of all, and quite clearly and obviously from this text, God hears and He answers prayer. He does, congregation. The devil would have us believe that God doesn't hear our prayers. He whispers, why do you bother praying anyways? You're praying wrong, or you have sin in your heart, or you're doing this, or you're asking for it wrong, or a whole multitude of things he throws in our way to get us to stop communicating with God. And God granted him that which he requested. Don't ever give up on God. Maybe you're praying for a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a work associate. And you're ready right at the very edge to say, Lord, this one's going off my prayer list. Congregation, open the Bible to 1 Chronicles 4 and put your finger on the end of verse 10 and say, Lord, thou hast said, and God granted him that which he requested. And art thou not the same God who lived then and who lives now? Lord, hear my prayer. God does hear, and he does answer prayer. Be encouraged with that. And then, too, be encouraged with this. This seemingly insignificant person, among a multitude of names here in the book of Chronicles, buried, as it were, in this list of names that we may just quickly gloss over and quickly read through. God has mercy on such a sinner as Jabez. Congregation, do you sometimes feel that you're lost in the crowd? That you're one little speck in your town and in your state and in your country and in this grand, great world, just one of 6.5 billion people? Why would God hear your prayer? Well, he hears it for the sake of his son. And he does hear prayers from small, insignificant people who are lost in the crowd, lost in the list. He answered Jabez's prayer. God has mercy on the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation. God hears. God answers. And then finally, remember this, that Jabez was found in the genealogy of Judah. And the Lord Jesus Christ also came from the tribe of Judah, Psalm 78, verse 68, and Revelation 5 and verse 5. And though we may not be spiritually, or physically rather, from the Jewish tribe, we also may be spiritually from the lion of the tribe of Judah's tribe. And we may indeed be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And congregation, when we are found in him by faith, when we are in his side, when we are clinging to him, when his blood is washing away, has washed away, and continues to wash away all our sins, God, for the sake of his son, does hear and answer prayer. And I pray that every single one of us, both boys and girls and men and women, that we may prove that we are from this spiritual Israel, the ones who indeed come from him who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that we may prove that and reveal that by praying in truth. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand would be with me and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And that we too may have this testimony, and God granted him or her that which we requested. Amen.